turning astray of the path that was left long ago. All we leave behind, time after time, is a legacy with nothing to show. Now our country is lost, and it's not without cost, for there's many who struggle every day. And I think that it's time we start crying for our nation and bow our heads and pray. If today you lost your life, what would you leave behind? What would the ones around you see?
Hey everyone, this is Steve Donahue with another episode of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. Today's episode is number 131, and this is going to be recording the messages I preached to the church in which I pastored, Mount Taylor Baptist Church, this last Sunday from Proverbs 31, looking at the ideal mother, the ideal wife, according to the scriptures and Proverbs. And so it should be a good message for you, and stay tuned for that. Before you do that, though, take care of a little bit of business here. First of all, make sure that you're following us on all the various social media out there, telling your friends and family about us. Second up, make sure that you're registered as a user, and this helps you maximize your time, know when there's different posts made to the website. And then third, visit our affiliates. You'll see those on the center right column of the website as well as in the show notes, and frequent them, purchase from them. That helps support the show. And then finally, support the show using the Legacy Partner Program. That's $30 a year. With that, you have exclusive access to some members-only information. You can download and get some vendor discounts, that kind of thing. Check that out. And that takes care of the introductory materials. So let's go ahead and listen to the message that I preached this last Sunday to the church in which I pastored, Mount Taylor Baptist Church, from Proverbs chapter 31.
Again, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 31, and if you've been with us over the last several weeks, you know that we have been looking at some of the most important passages of the Old Testament, 50 of them, then we're going to go into the 50 of the most important passages of the New Testament, so we've kind of been doing a survey, and we looked at Psalm 23 last Sunday, and this is a far cry from Psalm 23, although it is in the next book. But we're going to take just a pause from that series in order to focus a little bit of our attention on the value of mothers, and particularly the value of a virtuous woman that is described here in the book of Proverbs. In order to understand the context of this, we have to understand that this was actually a proverb written by a mother to a son to instruct him as to what kind of woman to look for in a wife. It was designed to show him what kinds of qualities of character that a woman should possess in order to be the wife of a king. And so it is important for us to understand what these virtues are and then to recognize those same qualities in our wives and in our mothers so that we might be able to give them the praise that they deserve. And I think that the key text for today is found in verse 28. Where it says, her children rise up and call her blessed. You see, that's what we really are here to do in recognition of Mother's Day, is we are hoping that this message will encourage us as sons to rise up and call our mothers blessed, because we see some of the qualities that are described here. Now, I have to say that just like many times in the Scriptures, the image that we get, or the picture that is drawn for, whether it be a deacon in 1 Timothy chapter 3, or a bishop in 1 Timothy chapter 3, or a righteous man in Ephesians, or whether it be a godly husband in Ephesians, or whether it be a virtuous woman here, they're idealistic. And when we look at these, no one qualifies. Okay? So we have to understand that first of all, but nevertheless, it is important for us to have kind of a baseline, a standard by which we can judge ourselves and judge others. And so what we find, first of all, is that this is a difficult passage in which to break down into a format that can be used for preaching. The reason for that is that in the Hebrew, it's an acrostic poem. Now, acrostic poem means that each line starts with a new letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And so it was designed for memory so that you can memorize the passage well when you're studying through it. But that means nothing to us who do not memorize Hebrew. And so we have to break it down in a little bit different way. And so What I have done is I have looked at five aspects of an excellent woman, or five reasons why a virtuous woman is worthy of praise. And the first one is this: the marriage of a virtuous woman is excellent. The marriage of a virtuous woman is excellent. Look with me in verses 10 through 12. First of all, in verse 10, it says, "Who can find a virtuous wife?" Now, the idea is that it's not impossible to find one, but it's hard. And it's only getting harder, I think, in the society in which we live. Because as our society drifts further and further away from the standards that God has in His Word, it is harder and harder to find a woman described like this here. And so it says, who can find a virtuous wife? The word virtuous here carries the idea of excellence or honorable, someone who is worthy of praise and valor. And then it says that her worth is far above rubies. And of course, when I read this, it's not designed that we can take a ruby and say, well, this is worth so much, and so a wife is worth this much. No, that's not the idea. In fact, kind of the idea is that of some of the credit card commercials that we see on the television, you know, where it says, you know, an excursion to the Bahamas, $1,000, and, you know, a new Mercedes-Benz, $23,000, whatever it is, and something else, priceless. That's the idea behind this, right? It's designed to give you the idea that finding a woman of such virtue, such valor like this, you cannot buy that. You cannot purchase that anywhere. It is beyond the price of money. And then verse 11, it says, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, and he will find no lack of gain. The idea here is that the husband is blessed because of the responsibilities that she takes in order to relieve her husband of some of those duties. She is competent and does not need to concern himself with the activities that she does, because he knows that she will do it with excellence, and so he can be relieved of those. And then in verse 12 it says, she does him good and not evil all the days of his life. What a blessing for a husband whose wife does him good all the days of his life. I like what Socrates says. And of course, Socrates was an ancient philosopher of Greece. And you have to understand that to understand the quote. So know that he's an ancient philosopher. He says this: by all means marry. If you get a good wife, you will become happy. If you get a bad one, you will become a philosopher. I like what Zig Ziglar said. He says, if you treat your wife like a thoroughbred, you'll never end up with an old nag. And then maybe Daniel Boone and what he says about wives will relate to most of us. All you need for happiness is a good gun, a good horse, and a good wife. Keeps it pretty simple, doesn't he? Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22 says this: he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Can we say amen to that? See, women to marriage is like water to life. Water that is good gives us life. It refreshes our souls. It enables us to be able to live and to exist. But if you take some water that is full of bacteria and microorganisms that will kill you and you drink that, it is death. And it is amazing the power of a woman to bring life or to bring death. Isn't it true? And so a woman who is a virtuous woman, a woman who is of excellent character, can bring life to the marriage and a blessing to her husband. It is impossible to have a great marriage without having a wife of virtue. I understand it takes two to tangle and it takes two to have a good marriage, but an excellent wife is of such great value that it cannot be underestimated. Husbands, if you have a good wife, if you have a wife of excellent character, praise her. Recognize that. Thank her for it. And children, if your mother is a good wife to your father, then recognize that and praise her for it. And woman, the greatest gift that you can give to your children is to be a blessing to their father. The second principle that we find here is that the behavior of the virtuous woman is excellent. The behavior of the virtuous woman is excellent. We see this in verses 13 through 24. It takes up the most significant portion of the scriptures of this passage. And in verse 13 it says, she seeks wool and flask and willingly works with her hands. Now, In ancient Near Eastern culture, manual labor, working with one's hands, was considered below most people, especially a woman of great stature or someone who is maybe higher in the elevation of status. That was considered below their level of work, and they would usually hire out something. But not this woman. This woman does whatever is necessary to take care of her house and take care of her community, even if it means the manual labors of physical work. And that's the kind of woman who is worthy of excellent character. Verse 14, it says, she is like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. Now, the idea of this is that she seeks out the best produce, the best of food, in order to feed her household the very best. She learned how to be a great provider of food for her home. And then verse 15, it says, she also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. How many of you mothers remember having children in the home and having to get up early in the morning to make sure they had food before they went off to school or before they went off to whatever they did? And some of you are still doing that now for your husbands, and that's a good thing. But it's a great thing when a woman has the foresight to be able to get up early and to provide that kind of assistance to the home. And then verse 16, it says, she considers a field and buys it, and from her profits she plants a vineyard. Now, this is a verse that needs some balancing, because on the one hand, you have some people that in our society will say that the Bible speaks very negatively about women and their role in the house, and that, you know, they were designed to be basically doormats and do nothing but, you know, serve around the house. Well, the picture that we see here is certainly not that. They were involved in commerce. They were involved in buying and purchasing fields and scanning out, making sure that it was a good buy and all those kinds of things, which takes great skill and certainly elevates the status of a woman here. But it also has to be balanced with the understanding of ancient Near Eastern culture, and that is that a woman really could not purchase a field outside of her husband's authority and approval. And so it brings a perfect picture of balance here, where there is this unity within the home. She's exercising a great deal of initiative and foresight and activity and skill and responsibility, and yet it's all under the proper leadership within the home that the Bible describes. And then verses 17, it says, she girds herself with strength and strengthens her arm. The idea of this is that she's not a wimpy, frail woman. It's what we might call around here, she's a farm girl. She's strong. She's got some stamina and some ability about her. And then verse 18 says, she perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. In other words, she sees a market need and she's able to provide for that market. And she's able to help support the family in the process of doing that. Verse 19, she stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. Of course, those are terms used to describe the working with wool. And so she's able to prepare various types of clothing from the wool that she makes as she works that. And of course, nowadays, we've got all kinds of utensils and all kinds of machines that help us with this. But of course, in the ancient Near East, they did a lot of this by hand. And she was able to exercise herself in such a way that these things were done. And then verses 20 through 24 demonstrates her blessings in all the various areas of life and community. In verses 20, it says she takes care of the poor and provides for them in the community, takes care of her family in verse 21. Verse 22, she makes sure that she's taken care of. And then in verse 23, it says that her husband is known in the gates. Now, the gates were the place in the cities where the business was conducted. It was the place of judging and leadership. And so if your husband was in the gates, it meant that your husband was in leadership in the city. And it is not without coincidence that her husband was at the city gates in leadership. Why? Probably because a great deal of her effort was behind it. And then in verse 24, it says that she was also able to support the economy in the community by providing for the merchants that came in, providing merchandise for them as she sold it. See, her behavior could be summarized with one word, and that was industrious. She does not have idle time or time to waste. She is constructive from early in the morning to late at night. I came across a website when I was preparing this message that I thought was pretty interesting. It's actually from moms.salary.com. So if you want to look this up, It's quite interesting. What they've done is they've broken down all the various tasks and responsibilities of a mother in the home and put a monetary value to them. Now, you can take that for whatever it's worth. But here are just some of the lists of the things that they do. And they are a facility manager at 10.8 hours per week at $31.59 per hour. They're a CEO for 3.3 hours of the week at $54.58 per hour. They're a laundry operator for 6.2 hours. Unless you got a big family, it's probably like, 12.4 or something. But at $9.95 an hour. Computer operator for 9 hours at $16 an hour. Housekeeper, 14.4 hours per hour, $10.10 per hour. Cook, 14 hours. A teacher, 13.3 hours. A van driver, 8 hours. A janitor, 7.8 hours. A psychologist for 7.3 hours. The list goes on and on. All total is the base salary of 40 hours a week, $37,547. Overtime hours, 54 hours, so 94 hours total, at $76,037 for a total salary of $113,568. How about that, huh? It's probably a lot more than that, though, isn't it? When you count in all the extra stuff that's not included on here. You see, that's the value of a woman of excellence. See, we can't put a value on that. It's just incredible. A woman's behavior who is industrious, a wife who is worth more than what can be paid in dollars, is incredible. It is a good thing they work out of the abundance of their love and not for a paycheck. Isn't that true? We couldn't provide them with enough. And then number three, the character of a virtuous woman is excellent. The character of a virtuous woman is excellent. We see this in verses 25 through 27. And in verse 25, it says, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in times to come. Now, I think that the idea behind this is not so much that she keeps herself physically fit. It's more so that she has such confidence with herself, such strength within herself that she's not easily insecure. And we'll see that here in just a moment, how that plays out in itself. And in verse 26, it says that her speech is exemplary. It says she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Her speech is not idle speech or gossip or criticizing, but it's speech that builds up. In other words, she fulfills Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but only what is necessary for good edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And so in her home, she's building up, she's encouraging, she's challenging people to be better through her speech. And she's not idle gossiping away her life. And then verse 27, it says, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. In other words, she has a family first character. She focuses on her family. The idea behind the bread of idleness, literally, it means their eyes looking around. And the idea behind that was that she's not focused on the task at hand, but instead she's looking around for something else to do that would entertain her. But the virtuous woman, she's not like that. You see, she's focused on the task at hand. She knows that she has certain responsibilities within her house, and she is capable to do those and does them well with great character. You see, her character is such that it's easy to get along with. It's easy to be able to live in a house with a woman of this kind of virtue because she builds up. She doesn't tear down. Now, this is the opposite of other women that are described in the book of Proverbs. I think of the woman in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 9 and verse 19 that says this, better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. I'll let that one just sink in for a little bit. And then also in verse 19, it says something similar. Better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. See, the virtuous woman is not like that. She's not a contentious woman. She's easy to get along with. Doesn't want to fight with you all the time. And then Proverbs 27, verse 15 says, and this is the most descriptive, a continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Now, the idea behind that is that there's this leak in the roof, and it's a rainy day, and it's just pouring down rain outside, and you're trying to fix that leak. It's not going to happen, is it? You got to wait till it dries up, then you can fix the leak. But what it says here is that it says, a continual dripping on a very rainy day is like a contentious woman. And then it goes on, just in case we didn't understand the point. It says, who can restrain her, or whoever, like, restrain her is like trying to restrain the wind and grasping oil in your hand. It's impossible. But not the virtuous woman. Virtuous woman, you can live in a household like that. We have probably all met women who are always wanting to get in a fight. They're hard to get along with because they're critical of everything, insecure and idle. Not so with the woman described here. A woman of excellent character is indeed an exceeding great treasure. If your mother has such a character of security, edifying speech, focused pursuit, that's worthy of praise. It's worthy of rising up and calling her blessed. The same goes for your wife. And then the fourth principle is that her family life, the family life of a virtuous woman is excellent. The family life of a virtuous woman is excellent. Verses 28 through 29 says this. It says, her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. There are few joys in a mother's experience in this life that surpasses that of the praise, the love, and the respect of her children. Isn't that true? We take them for granted, and it is good that we have a day each year that we can set aside in special recognition of mothers because they don't get the credit they deserve. And then it says, husbands, he praises her. So many men fail to praise their wives. It reminds me of the story of the couple that came in for counseling one time. Not me, of course, I'm getting the story somewhere else. But a couple came in for counseling, and after they began to discuss some of the problems that was occurring in their marriage, the wife said, I just don't understand. He never tells me that he loves me. Well, the husband, in defense, rises up and says, well, I told her I loved her at the wedding. If anything changes, I'll let her know. Not a good plan for marriage, folks. Not a good plan, man. You see, husbands need to rise up and praise their wives. Isn't that true? And her family has been built up year after year after year through her ministry. And now she's reaping the benefits as they rise up and they bless her for it. A strong, healthy, happy, united family has a lot to do with the mother of that household, the wife of that household. But the reverse is also true. Listen to what it says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. Now, what is it? What is required in order to build a house? Well, I think in one word, it's investment. You have to invest your time, your money, your resources, energy. You have to invest skills. Whether you're building it or whether someone else is building it, these will vary depending upon how you go about building it. But the same thing is true when it comes to a spiritual house. There needs to be resources invested, time, skill, energy. There needs to be a level of commitment that's involved because it is an investment. And a wife and a mother who has invested her life in her family will have her children rise up and call her blessed. They'll have the children come in on surprise. And that is an indication of praise. Although we have seen in previous verses that this woman has done a lot for the community and her house physically, she has not allowed all the various responsibilities of life to limit her investment with her family. It's easy in life to be pulled in so many different directions that we lose sight of what is important. And yet I think that there is this natural inclination within women to focus on their family. And when they hear that and they adhere to that, then they will be blessed in the end. My friends, if your mother or your wife has invested her life in your family, praise her for it. And then finally, the spiritual life of a virtuous woman is excellent. The spiritual life of a virtuous woman is excellent. Look with me in verses 30 through 31. It says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. Charm and beauty. God created women beautiful of face and form. And yet that's not all there is. There's far more than that. That fades, wrinkles, sags. But the inner beauty can and often does grow more beautiful over time. That's where the focus should be. And so it says in verse 31, or the second part of verse 30, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. You see, not only is her focus on the family, but her focus first and of most importance is in her relationship with the Lord. So many women do so much because society places so much emphasis on them, on their physical beauty. And yet they pay no attention to the inner beauty, the physical or the spiritual beauty that takes place in one's heart. And how much more important is that? It's a beautiful thing when a woman studies the Bible, when she's learned to be diligent in prayer, when she has a relationship with the Lord that is evident in all that she does because she fears the Lord. This is a woman who is honorable and excellent. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6 says it this way. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outwardly arranging of the hair, wearing gold, and putting on a fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner in former times the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter you are, if you do good, and are not afraid with any terror. You see, that's the inner beauty that cannot be put on with makeup or dress code or anything like that. That's the kind of beauty that is inherent through the work of God's Spirit in one's life. See, young people so much focus on the wrong issues. I know that if you take a poll of most young people today, they're not focused on the inner beauty of a spiritual life in a woman. In fact, I remember in college, I had some of my buddy friends, and they had this phrase, date them and convert them. And if you think about that for a moment, that's the wrong philosophy when it comes to marriage relationships. And no, instead, what should happen is that they should focus first on the beauty, the inner beauty of the woman. And then once they find that, then they can focus on the rest. What a great thing if we can look at the spiritual life of your mother and rise up and call her blessed because of the great spirit that is within her that God has put within that. What a great thing if, husbands, we can look to the spiritual lives of our wives and know that they are raising children based upon that spiritual emphasis in the home. And so here we have five descriptions of a woman who is honorable, who is worthy of praise. And I just want to close by making a couple of more comments. And the first one is this. It is only possible by God's grace to be this kind of woman. We can't in our own self-effort manufacture something like this. And the same could be conversely true for men. There's no possible way we can develop the kind of quality of character that is described for godly manhood or womanhood in the Scriptures apart from the grace of God. And so if tonight you go home or today you go home and you think, you know what, that's the kind of woman I need to be. I'm going to just try harder. It's not going to work. It's only by the work of God's Spirit in your life as He transforms you and as He continues to mold you into His image that all this is possible. And so that's the first thing that we must remember. Secondly, we must remember that we're still sinners. And that no matter how much our children rise up and call us blessed, no matter how much our husbands praise us, or conversely for us husbands, our wives praise us, or whatever relationship you might have there, we're still sinners in need of a Savior. Not one of us can stand at the end of the day and say, I've done well, because we haven't. There's not a person here that will be able to be justified in the sight of God apart from His grace. And so we must always remember that we are a sinner in need of a Savior. And then thirdly, we must give honor where honor is due. And it is important, even though we understand that there's nothing that's good that comes from us apart from the grace of God, and we also understand that we are sinners in need of a Savior, it is also important to give honor where honor is due. And so we honor our mothers today on Mother's Day. We give them the credit that is due for the sacrifice that they gave, the long hours, the waking up early, the going to bed late at night, the sacrificing of their own time and their own pleasure so that they might be able to invest that in their family and in their husbands and their children. And so we give them honor. And we give the Lord the credit for all the work that is done. Let us pray.
Well, I hope you found that helpful. And with that, this has been Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy? For there's many who struggle every day. And I think that it's time
We start crying for our nation and bow our heads and pray. If today you lost your life, what would you leave behind? What would the ones around you see? What happened in the dash between your birth and death? What will you do to change your legacy? Just like the plant that withers away, we will leave many seeds behind. If today you lost your life, what would you leave behind? What would the ones around you see? What happened in the dash between your birth and death? What will you do to change your legacy? What will you do?